Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I ask that you please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are light, the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and that we had a roof over our head last night. And as we gather here, we pray that the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit would be with us as we gather around your word. Forgive us of our sins and anoint these lips and our ears that we would be able to hear your still small voice speaking to us, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my message today is called Influence by Ministry Engagement. And I want to welcome not only those who are gathered here. Julio, we see you over there. Thank you for coming and joining us. We appreciate Chef Queen. And just want to welcome our online audience. You can hear more messages like this at our website, MiddletownPortlandSDA.org. Or I also have my own personal YouTube page, Path of Prophecy. I've been producing new content, and so you can check that out. You'll find content there you won't find anywhere else. And so that's at Path of Prophecy on YouTube. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And as we delve into your word, it's my prayer that we would come to a clearer understanding of who we are in the light of Christ and the calling that your word has upon us. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. During the week of June, or in during camp meeting, there was a story that came out about the submarine that went down to see the Titanic, and it, of course, imploded. I was a little bit catching bits and pieces of it on the radio as I was attending camp meeting. It was news to me, and later on, when I returned home, I bought a copy of People magazine because it was on the cover. But within the covers of People magazine, of course, it's a lot of gossip that features a lot of stories about who's pregnant, who's getting married, who's getting divorced, and all kinds of who's coming out with their latest movie, and just all kinds of stuff like this. One of the stories that was there, just a one-picture little snippet, was this right here. And it was about a couple that was spotted in Paris. And so the photographer took their picture and featured them in People magazine. It was Jaden Smith with Paola Locatelli. And Jaden Smith, I believe, is the son of Will Smith, the famous actor, movie actor, and personality. But Paola Locatelli, she is what is known as an influencer. She's not a movie star. She's not a TV star. She's not a recording artist. She's an influencer, okay? Now, what kind of an influencer is she? Well, she was born March 2nd, 2004 in Thionville. She's a French influencer. She's also a model, an actress, an entrepreneur of Cape Verdean and Italian origin. So give a shout out to our Cape Verdean friends and our Italian friends. Amen? Amen, that's right. And she became known in the year 2015 when she was only 11 years old. How old was she? 11 years old, and she began publishing videos on the YouTube platform, and as a consequence of her efforts there, she became an influencer. And so she's influencing people all around the world with regards to fashion and the fashion industry. She's consulted by many people, and I believe in her bio on Wikipedia, it said that she has 3 million followers. She's only 19 years old. That's right. She has 3 million followers. She is what we would call an influencer, right? I would say so. She's an influencer. If you've got 3 million people following you, you're doing something, right? Well, God wants us to be influencers as well, amen? And here's how he wants us to be influencers. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus identified what his people were to be. He described how they were to be. And here's what he said. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." We need to give pause and just look at this text a little closer, okay? Salt is a wonderful property and element, and it's used for many things. I was first introduced to salt as a young person because my mother did not want me to have salad dressing on my salad. I don't know why. She just said, "You can't have that." I think now, years later, at the age that I'm at now, that perhaps she was just not wanting us to waste the salad dressing, because you had to purchase it, obviously. And if you poured it on your salad and you didn't like it, then all that salad dressing was wasted. Not only the salad dressing, but the salad as well. So the option that she gave to me was salt. And from that point, I began to put salt on my salad. Now, over the years, I made a transition to salad dressing, but in my attempt to lose my middle section and flatten it out a little bit more, I've gone back to salt, okay? I appreciate the value of salt because salt has the power to bring out the flavor upon which it is sprinkled on. Not poured on, but sprinkled on. You don't need much salt to bring out the flavor of what you're salting. You just need a little bit. In fact, I'll share this story, and my wife knows where I'm going to go right now. She's starting to smile already. Years ago, when we were first married, this year we'll be celebrating our 27th anniversary, so you'll get the idea as to the length of time we've been with each other, my bride at my side. But we were living in my bachelor apartment. We had gotten married, and we were living in our first home, which was my bachelor apartment in Rhode Island. And one day she made dinner, and it was soup. I took one bite of that soup, and do you know what I did with it? I took the whole bowl and I threw it down the drain. Now, how is it that we've been able to stay married for 27 years, and in my first year of marriage, I threw down the dinner that my wife had prepared down the drain? Right? That begs the question, doesn't it, Joy? Well, the good news is that she didn't make the soup. Campbell's did. But it was salty beyond belief. I couldn't consume it because I never had that much salt in my diet. I didn't eat a lot of Campbell's soups and prepared foods like this. So needless to say, she was not insulted. In fact, she was complimented because we've been eating her homemade soups ever since. And our marriage has stayed intact. Amen? Amen. 27 years, my bride at my side, and I'm the groom in her room. All right? That's right. Don't forget that. Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth. And he asks the question, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? That's the New King James Version. Here's how I'm going to translate it. But if the salt loses its flavor, how can the salt be salted? That's essentially what it's asking. In other words, if the salt loses its flavor, who's going to salt the salt? Right? You add salt to bring out the flavor, but if the salt doesn't have any flavor, it can't bring out any flavor. Because that's the only thing that's capable of bringing out flavor. You can't add more lettuce to bring out the flavor. You can't add tomato soup. You can't. You just can't do anything. You need salt to accomplish that. Okay? And it says it's good for nothing. And the only thing it's good for is to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And I believe that what we're witnessing in today's culture, today's society, is the church has lost sight of this vision that God has presented to us through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Because you see the world attempting to trample upon the church. And in many parts of the world, the church caves in and the church adopts its culture of the world around it rather than being the flavor that God intended it to be. Okay? So the church has to recapture this vision of what it's called to be salt, so that it can bring flavor to the world out there. Because there's a lot of people who are partaking of what the world offers, and they're getting a very bad taste in their mouth. And they don't know where else to turn. They're looking for answers. Okay? And God is the one who gives us the answers. Amen? So, here is the culture of the day in the time of Jesus. I'm going to read a description from the book Desire of Ages. Anybody ever read that book? The book Desire of Ages. If you have never read that book, Desire of Ages, raise your hand and we'll see if we can get you a copy. Amen? Anybody here who has never read that book, Desire of Ages? Okay. I guess everybody's read it. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, here's a quote from Desire of Ages. A couple of paragraphs here. Just bear with me. Page 32. It says, as the Jews, talking about the time when Jesus began his public ministry. This was the culture of the day. As the Jews had departed from God, faith had grown dim. What had grown dim? Faith. In other words, people's belief in God had become dim. Why? Because the Jews, God's people, had departed from God. Do you see what happens when the church departs from God? People's faith will become dim. So the church has to continue to press on in following God. But here's what the quote goes on. As the Jews had departed from God, faith had grown dim, and hope had well nigh ceased to illuminate the future. What had ceased to illuminate the future? Hope. That's right. People are looking for hope. But when God's people depart from God, hope diminishes. And it's incapable of illuminating the future. The words of the prophets were uncomprehended. To the masses of people, death was a dread mystery. Beyond was uncertainty and gloom. And so, folks, this explains why we see a lot of people, particularly Hollywood, trying to produce movies that help explain what happens beyond. Because the church is not giving the right answer, because the church departs from God, so guess who has to fill that void? Yeah, anybody. And you're going to get 1,000 different answers. Okay? So it behooves that the church remain close to God, draw near to God, so that the world will come to the church for answers rather than to Hollywood for answers. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. Going on. It was not alone the wailing of the mothers of Bethlehem, but the cry from the great heart of humanity that was born to the prophet across the centuries. The voice heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. You understand what the prophet is saying here? Is that we take this passage of scripture, and Matthew is the one who's done it for us, and applies it to the mothers of Bethlehem when their children were slaughtered because Herod was determined to kill the Christ child. And so Matthew applies this prophecy of Jeremiah and saying this met its fulfillment in the mothers of Bethlehem, in their experience. They were Rachel was weeping for her children because they are no more. But what the book Desire of Ages does is it expands that spotlight and takes it further than Bethlehem and says it applies to the entire world, to all the mothers of the world, right? And why is that? Because it wasn't just the Jewish mothers who were weeping for their children who had been slaughtered by Herod and his soldiers. No, it was the women all over the world who were weeping for their children who were faced with the challenge and the burden of growing up in a world that was harsh, that was cruel. And we are witnessing the very same thing today, where even the medical community has turned on, and I may get censored by YouTube for this, but hey, so what? But the point is the medical community and the families are no longer working together, but they're opposed to each other in giving out their medical counsel. And government, instead of supporting families, they're working in opposition and willing to take away children who are believing one way, but the parents are seeing things another way. Is this making sense? Okay? So this was the context of the time of Jesus, when Jesus arrived on the scene. The passage goes on. In the region and shadow of death, men sat unsolaced. Now that's a big fancy word for uncomforted. They were not comforted. They had no hope. They were in despair. Okay? They sat in the regions and shadow of death. Death was constantly overshadowing them. Now, let's be honest, folks. Just right down the street around the corner, there's a funeral home. Death exists in our day as well. Nothing has really changed in 2,000 years. The point that's being made here is that people had no hope. They had no hope. And when you have no hope, you turn to any alternative that's out there. Any alternative. Okay? Jesus was calling the people of his day to be an influence by ministry of engagement. Influence by ministry of engagement. In other words, we cannot be an influence unless we engage intentionally, unless we are intentional about walking across the street, about walking across the aisle, about extending our hand to somebody who's in need. Does that make sense? It's an influence by ministry of engagement. Okay? Jesus went on to say, you're not only the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill can be hidden, right? It can't be hidden. Why can't it be hidden? Yeah, because it's sitting on a hill. It's sitting on a hill. Okay? Just this morning, my wife and I were driving. Phil and Gladys, you probably had the same experience as you were driving on 384, turning onto 84. What do you see off in the distance as you're heading west on 84 and 384? You see the city of Hartford sitting right there in the Pioneer Valley. Now, it's in a valley, and we were on the hill, but the point is, you cannot hide a city. Okay? The people of God, even as few as we are in number here physically present today, we're a small city, but we're a city nonetheless. We may be classified in the scale of things, well, we're just a little village, right? But even a village can grow. Amen? And we have our online audience that we're appreciative of, and they join us every week. We're very grateful for their presence. But we are called to be the light of the world. And what does light do? It illuminates the darkness, right? It illuminates the darkness. We have an electrician in our midst. He can tell us all about light and the wonderful things that light does through the power of electricity. Well, with the power of the Holy Spirit, there are great things that God can do, even with just a few people. Let me just do a quick count here. We've got 1, 2, 3, Joy is up there, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We actually have more people than Jesus had disciples. So if Jesus could do what he did with 12 apostles, minus one because Judas betrayed, but they later added Matthias, we have more than what Jesus had when he started off. Now, the initial church that was birthed there in Acts chapter 1 was 120, give or take. Okay? But we've got our online audience. Amen? God is not limited by numbers. He just has to ask us to be willing to be that conduit of his power. Okay? His conduit of his power. And so let's take a look at this passage, okay? Again, Desire of Ages, page 35. This is talking about the context of the chapter is about when Jesus arrived on the scene with his public ministry. And here's what it says. Satan was seeking to shut out from men a knowledge of God. What was Satan trying to do? Shut out a knowledge of God, okay? And the way that he does that is get people away from this book, okay? So when the church deviates from this book, we're contributing to Satan's cause. But when we rest our faith on this, when we preach from this book, Satan has to shudder. Amen? He has to become afraid. Satan was seeking to shut out from men a knowledge of God and to turn their attention from the temple of God and to establish his own kingdom. Okay? Why did he want to turn people's away from the temple of God, people's attention away from the temple of God? Because the temple of God illuminated what the kingdom of God was going to be about. Okay? The kingdom of God is about salvation, forgiveness, okay? All these wonderful attributes, mercy that God offers to us. But Satan wants to misinform us about God, and so he has to turn people's attention away from the teachings of God to his own kingdom. His strife for supremacy, continuing, his strife for supremacy had seemed to be almost wholly successful. How successful was it? Almost successful, almost wholly successful. Not quite, but he was gaining ground, okay? But we're not going to give him too much credit and glory. It is true that in every generation, God had his agencies, even among the heathen. There were men through whom Christ was working to uplift the people from their sin and degradation. Okay? But listen to this. But these men were despised and hated. Many of them suffered a violent death, and the dark shadow that Satan had cast over the world grew deeper and deeper. Now, does that sound like a very promising, hope-filled world to live in? No. Which is why Jesus told his people, "You are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Jerusalem was to be that light of the world. They were to offer light to the world. But the problem in Jesus' day was that the people of God, the Jews, had turned away from God. And it was giving Satan the upper hand. What's the solution? What's the solution? Well, if we're called to be salt, and if we're called to be light, then we have to let our light shine, and we have to add the flavor of Christ to what's out there, to what's outside of these walls. And how do we do that? Well, we involve ourselves in the influence of ministry engagement. The influence of ministry engagement. If you didn't know, that's a picture of the Portland Middletown Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 13 Waverly Avenue in Portland, Connecticut. Amen? Amen. It's a quaint little picture of a cute little church building built over 100 years ago in the 18th century, not the 20th century, but excuse me, the 19th century. The 19th century. You can go outside as you go out the front doors, hang a quick left, and then another quick left. And if you look at the cornerstone of the building, it'll show the date which the church was built. I believe it was 1878. So do the math, okay? It was an old Lutheran church. And later on, it was transferred over to the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay? But our church participates in a ministry of engagement. Amen? By feeding people who are in need. Okay? And we meet with them every Wednesday from 10:30 in the morning to about 12:30 in the afternoon. And we have anywhere from 50 to 60, maybe even 70 people who come here and are served. And by doing that, we let people know that we're here. Because why? We engage with the people in the community. Now, there's 100 different ways to engage with people in the community. Our social media is one way, okay? I'm not knocking social media. We need social media to help preach the gospel. But that's not the only way, nor is a food pantry the only way, okay? But the point is that we have to be doing this, okay? We have to be doing this. And why is that? Because a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, right? Whether it's coming into Hartford or whether it's driving through New York City at night, okay? Because what people do not do is they do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, I'll have to be honest. When I was a kid, my father gave my brother and I flashlights for Christmas. That's what we got in our stockings. And when we got those batteries and put them in, one of the fun things that we had to do, our activities, was at night we would take our flashlights and we would pull the covers over us and we would use our flashlights to look at and, you know, put it up to our hands and see if we could find our bones and all this kinds of stuff that little kids do with flashlights. Okay? So, yeah, kids will turn on a flashlight and put it under a blanket, but not for very long. The point is that you don't put a lamp under a bushel. You light the lamp so that it could light everybody, everything that's in the house. Okay? And when we engage in a ministry of engagement, what we're doing is we're turning the light on. We're turning the light on so that people can see. Okay? This is a picture that I took of New York City when my wife and I, with Andrew and Jonathan, our sons, were there a few months back. It's beautiful at night. Okay? All the lights just kind of sparkle and you see all the different buildings and whatnot. And there are people who are working, who are doing activities in those buildings where it's lit up. And the reason is because they can see inside. There's not much that a church can do in its community when the lights aren't turned on. Okay? So, the counsel that Jesus gives is, let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works. And do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? This is why we engage in and use our influence by a ministry of engagement. A ministry of engagement, okay? And you know, when I sit out there in my strategic position there in the hallway, as small and as cramped as it can be, I can't tell you how many times, since I've been here in the year and a half that I've been here, how many times people have said to me, there's something going on in this world. Joan Ferraro, who lives right across the street from us and is one of our clients at the food pantry, said to me recently, She says, are we living in the end times? These are people that ask me these questions. I don't solicit them. Okay? They ask me. And we have prayer with these people and so on and so forth. But we are engaged with them in order to influence them. And let me share how we are influencing people. I want to read a card that Phil had shared with me just this past Sunday. He received a card from a woman by the name of Trudy, who is one of our clients here at the food pantry. And here's what she has to say. She addresses it to the Portland Seventh-day Adventist Church and volunteers. Sincere thanks for all you do for our community. Personally, she adds, I lost my job and my husband during COVID. After my unemployment ran out, I did not know where to turn. Sounds like the people living in the time of Jesus, right? That was described in the book Desire of Ages. People had nowhere to turn. They're living in the shadow of death, right? She goes on to say, I live in Portland and was crying while driving down Waverly one Wednesday last year. Now, folks, I know sometimes when I've cried, it's hard to see, right? I can't imagine crying and driving at the same time. Although I think I've done that a few times as well. But lo and behold, she happened to be crying and driving, and the very street that she was driving down was Waverly Avenue, and she came across a little building located at 13 Waverly Avenue. Here's what she had to say. While driving down Waverly one Wednesday last year, I was welcomed by Joy's smile. You remember that moment? Okay. The work you do has been life-changing for me. What has it done for her life? It's changed her life. It's changed her life. I wanted to say thank you for providing more than just food for the body. You have brought hope, friendships, laughter, and healing into my life. Give glory to God, right? Give glory to God. I thank our Lord for you all every day, not just Wednesdays. Sincerely, Trudy. Phil, the card is going in my pocket. You can ask for it afterwards. Okay? Friends, it sounds like you influenced her. Amen? And I would venture to say that for every Trudy, you're also influencing the others that are out there who come. Because you are being salt and you are being light. Okay? And God is using you. He's using you. Okay? And so the question begs, well, Pastor, we just celebrated our 5th anniversary of the food pantry. That's what I heard just a few weeks ago. How come we're not seeing more people here? Well, turn around and Julio, why don't you wave to us? Okay? Julio's here from the food pantry, right? Amen? Amen. Amen. But Julio, we've had others who have said, how come we're not seeing more? How come we're not seeing more? Right? Well, perhaps there's more that God wants to do in our lives in order to make us even more friendly and engaging. Amen? You know, I just started keeping a journal. I've done it in the past. And so I just started revisiting that idea and entered my second journey entry. Within the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks or something like that. So it's not real consistent, but, you know, there's a pattern that's starting to develop. And one of the things I mentioned in my journal is that I need to be more loving to my family. I'm hoping my wife would say, you're loving. I'm hoping she'll say that. But I'm hoping that she'll see, wow, you're just even more loving than we were yesterday. And next week she would say, you're even more loving. You know? That's what it ought to be, is that every day we improve and strive because we want more of God's grace, His amazing grace. There's an endless supply. It's not like God's going to run out one day. Well, the shelves are bare, guys. I don't have any. I ran out of grace. It's not going to happen. Praise God, it's not going to happen. That's right. Hallelujah is right. We ran out of stuff during COVID, right? We won't have to go into what items. But the shelves were bare on some of these issues. But God's shelves will never be bare. You'll never check the bank account of God and it'll say zero balance. Zero balance. It'll never happen with God. We can always go 24/7 for God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. Now, getting back to this idea of more folks, how can we engage with more? And Julio, we want to include you in this, okay? And we're grateful to have you here with us today. But I want to share this from a book called Ministry of Healing. Anybody ever read that book, Ministry of Healing? Amen. If you haven't read it in a while, I would trust that you revisit it again very soon, especially those opening chapters about the life of Christ. Powerful, powerful, powerful passages, okay? But here's a well-known passage on page 143. I first heard this when I was in the classroom at seminary back at Andrews University, and this passage has charmed me ever since. And it's become highlighted and emphasized throughout our conference and throughout the division. When I go to division meetings, this passage is quoted many, many times, numerous times. And here's what it says. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. Whose method? Is it Pastor Tom's method? Is it the conference's method? Is it the Apostle Paul's method? It's Christ's method. And who is Christ? He's the Messiah. He was trying to draw all men to Him. I don't want people to come here and hear me. I want them to hear the words of Christ. I want to have them hear the gospel, okay? The good news that Christ is coming again. He's wanting to prepare His bride. And in preparation for that, it is God's people who are to call and invite others to be part of this remnant body of believers. Amen? So this is Ministry of Healing, page 143. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. Well, that's wonderful, but what is that method of success? Well, praise God, the inspired author of this added these words. Here's how it happened. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their what? Their good. When we mingle with people, are we trying to get what we want, or are we mingling with them because we desire their good? We desire that they receive the best. Okay? We mingle with men as one who desired their good, because that's what Jesus did. Folks, remember, Jesus had a Roman centurion who came to Him and said, my servant lies home sick, and I know that you can heal him. If you would just say the word, my servant would be healed. Now, what's the big deal about that example? Well, the big deal is that Jews did not mingle with Gentiles. There was racial prejudice that existed in the time of Jesus. And it's on display in the Gospels. But Jesus overcame the prejudice and the culture of His day because He was a servant of God who came to serve mankind. And He desired the best for mankind. And it was in the best interest that He go to that man's house to heal that servant. But it was the servant who objected, right? It was the servant who said, the centurion who objected and said, no, you don't even have to come under my roof. All you have to do is say the word. And by doing that, he exhibited faith that Jesus himself marveled at. He said, "Even in Israel, I have not seen such faith." Even in Israel, I have not seen such faith. So Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his what? His sympathy for them. Okay? In other words, he expressed joy when they had joy. He expressed sorrow when they experienced sorrow. Okay? I've had prayer with people in the hallway of that food pantry. Can't remember the lady's name, but she wept when I prayed. Not because I prayed some great prayer. I just prayed. But we sought her need. That was what she needed. And to this day, she calls me Pastor Tom. I've never seen her face here, but she calls me her pastor. Why? Because we showed sympathy for her in her hour of need. Jesus ministered to their needs. And it was this formula that he was able to gain their what? Their confidence, right? In other words, they were able to express a faith in Jesus because of what he had done for them. By doing something for them, created faith that they now expressed in Jesus. If we minister to others as Jesus ministered to others, I'm confident that we will have the same experience, not so that we can just put warm bodies on these hard benches. And we are talking about making some adjustments, okay? But what we want to be able to do is invite them to follow. Why? Because we're following Jesus, amen? We're seeking to follow him the best we know how because we use the lamp of God's word. The minute we put this aside and say, you know, we're going to go our own way, we're going to end up in darkness, a gross darkness. And trust me, it's a gross darkness because I've been there. Okay? And when I came to the light, that's when things cleared up and I was able to find my way out of the maze and get on the path. Okay? So Jesus followed a method. He followed a pattern. And we are guaranteed success because it's Christ's method. And Christ had followers. Okay? So if we follow his method, we too will experience that same success. We're called to influence by ministry of engagement. Okay? There's people out there who are influencing on social media. Great, wonderful. Some are doing some good things. Some are doing some things that, you know, we would call them worldly. Okay? And, you know, let's be honest, ladies. We need advice on fashions, and we need advice on how to make things and how to do woodcrafting and stuff like this. These people are influencers, right? When they show us, when I want to know how to change a light bulb in a car, I go to YouTube. When I want to know how to do this, guess what I do? I go to YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, and I'm hoping that when people search for what happens when you die, they'll see one of my videos, right? Because I want to influence them. But we also, even though we're influencing people around the world on our social media platform, this is what Kyle shared with me a few weeks ago. We've got people following us in the Philippines and in Germany and all kinds of exciting places. I've got the same thing happening on my YouTube channel, okay? But we also involve ourselves in community engagement to influence those in Portland, in Middletown, in the places where we inhabit, okay? And God has promised us that when we engage in ministry to the community, that people will find hope. We saw the evidence of it with Trudy, and there are many more to follow. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have called us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And salt is meant to bring flavor. I pray that we would be a people who could bring the flavor of the kingdom of God to those around us. I pray that we could bring light, because we're called to be the light of the world. And light brings hope. It's very discouraging sitting in a very dark place. But it's my prayer that we would bring hope, because you've called us to be the light of the world. I pray that you would bless all those who have heard this message, those who will be watching, those who are listening even now. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.